webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 3rd of October 2016, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum, and we're with Benjamin Disraeli. He would have to be, after Churchill, the second most well-known British Prime Minister. As he said, where knowledge ends, religion begins. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, bringing you more gospel CPR is the Heretic's Hope, the Preacher's Paradox, and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Michael Williams. How are you?
I am good, Barris Bartlett. That was a good quote this morning. I like that.
And he, you know, he was, his name is Benjamin Disraeli. Was the man Jewish? Yes. Very. And yeah. And he made some of the smartest moves in British politics way back when. But, yeah, it's true, isn't it? Like I have said in the past, in Christianity, everything is explainable until you come to something which you can't explain, then it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with the gospel, it is, to me, one of the things that's been so powerful is coming out of the illusion of personal faith, and that we really can rely on knowledge. We really can rely on logic, and even more powerfully so, knowing that the logic and the knowledge that we have available can be first filtered through the fact that we are all one. And instead of using that knowledge, you know, statistics and knowledge really can be construed based on where you're coming from. So people in the Gospel Revolution can take the very same knowledge and make it much more powerful than the average person, because when you're coming from the paradigm of being one with God and one with each other, it just makes everything better. Even knowledge is better.
That's very true. Knowledge is a very relative thing. I was reading something this morning, and I was fascinated by it. There have been studies done, and a quick and dirty way of entitling it would be, "When you're too stupid to know that you're too stupid." But essentially, these studies have shown that some of us, our mind works this way, that we think we're better than we are. We think we know more than we are. We would mark ourselves up on grades of, say, driving or passing a class, as we would think we'd get A's when maybe we should be getting F's. And then at the other end of things are people who are very highly intelligent, and they would say, "Oh, you know, I'm not that smart."
Shucks.
Yeah. And in reality, not just a pretend or shucks, not just a fake humility, but the same knowledge into both of those minds comes out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So how could it not be, as you say, affected? We won't say negatively or positively, but it's obviously going to be affected by the mindset and the paradigm we have about our own knowledge.
I agree, Bear, especially the paradigm of the gospel. Goodness, you see revelation and understanding all around you, not just in the Bible. I never will forget beginning to see the power of the revelation of the gospel and most everything that I could watch or listen to. And it just began to come alive. And I also had to realize that when I tried to share that with other people, they just didn't see it. You know, that's like,
and they don't have to be antagonistic. They just don't. As I've said before, You can't see, you mostly cannot see your filters. You can only see through them.
Yeah, it's always a good thing to remind us all of, for sure. I remember listening to Lion King, and I wept over the revelation of the gospel that was in that Disney animation. What a wonderful thing. Little Mermaid. I blame my daughters for having to watch Little Mermaid, but I actually liked Little Mermaid. but a 6 foot six, 250-pound man can admit he likes Little Mermaid.
What about Alaskan bush people, or Texas police, or you know, one of those cable shows, or Robinson Crusoe? Don't you like a good, you know, a good punch to the guts show like that?
No.
Hey, family, if you're
I'm a Little Mermaid kind of guy. I just can't get away from it.
I can see the dorsal fin shaping up on your back right now as we speak. Family, if you're a Facebook fan, then hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want any of our hundreds of free products, just go to www.gospelrevolution.com, where we have over 2,500 hours. Yes, you heard me right, 2,500 hours of free audio available, and just go fill your boots. You can download any of our years of podcasts, decades of teachings, or you can tune into the Gospel 24/7 on Gospel Revolution Radio, thanks to GR Executive Producer, complete with his pharisectomy certificate, Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. Now, while you're up there, watch some of Jeff Robertson's videos. Mike, a couple of real beauties this week. Sin can be a hurdle to get over. And the self-righteousness of exclusion. Jeff's pumping out some real good material here. Mm-hmm.
They are. I've enjoyed them. And they're really to the point. They have, because of their brevity, it just really is a wonderful tool to be able to kind of carve down the knowledge of a point of the gospel and put it out there in 5 minutes or so. And it's things that you can share with people that they can't be offended that you've sent them a file that's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, really. And I've started doing that. I use Jeff's, I've done it quite a few times. I simply send people to the movie. And if they don't want to watch it, they don't have to watch it. But at least I've answered, or at least I think I've answered, the question or the complaint or the objection or whatever it is that folks have. Some people, you know, they just want a debate, and other people really do want a dialogue. And until I know where folks are, I'm becoming less and less prepared to become engaged with them. Because I've got less years ahead of me than I have behind me, and I just don't want to waste any more time than I have already.
Yeah. Well, that is a piece of wisdom we probably should have had when we were 20, but hey.
Oh, there you go. Now, Michael, we've been getting some fascinating feedback from our family all around the globe. 187 countries, but not that many emails yet, just a few less emails and countries. But we've been getting some fantastic feedback from folks about this current series we're engaged in. Now, this current series in which we're engaged is our response to, I think I'd call it an attack on the gospel, and if I can be a little bit cute here, the major apostle of the gospel, Mike Williams, by one of his erstwhile companions in grace. And some of the responses have been really quite interesting. Have you had any responses personally?
I have. I've had several conversations. The amount of material that this has dumped on us is just really quite amazing.
And by material, whether or not you agree with it, it's given us cause to stop and discuss what has been raised in this. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's an appropriate thing to do, and I think it's a smart thing to do. Hopefully, you know, our hope of hopes beyond hopes is that Jim would listen to it and find reason in it and be able to find the gospel for the first time in his life with where he is in his ministry and his family. We all understand and know how powerful it is to step out of religion and into the gospel.
Now, by Jim, you mean Dr. Jim Richards?
Yes.
Who, on his website, impactministries.com, and I believe you can go search this, and you will find a document called The Grace Imposter.
Mm-hmm.
If you just do a search for imposter, and this is an article that he's written to his pastor friends, warning them against you and against the gospel.
And you can find it on our website.
It's right there on our front page of the website. Yeah, we've replicated it, and if anyone can find any mistakes in it, please let us know. But we believe that we've replicated it faithfully, and also faithfully.
Yes, both of those things. Well, we would like for people to understand that you just because you disagree with someone. Now, I realize where Jim and people like him in Christianity are coming from. If they truly believe what they think they know, then they are trying to save people from an eternal hell. And I get that, or at least I used to get that. I don't get it anymore. I now see that the resort to things like this article that Jim has published really is more along the lines of emotional terrorism than it is a call to sound doctrine.
Emotional terrorism.
Yeah, I really believe that it is, and I kind of knew that's what it was going to be when it was first sent to me, and I waited 2 hours. You know, if terrorism is coming your way, you want to delay it a little while.
or at least settle your nerves, yeah.
And so I waited a couple of hours, and then I listened to it, or I read through it over the next few hours, and then I went to bed, and I slept. I was
You sound more and more like King David, who said, "I'm just going to sleep in peace and security because the Lord is my God."
That's the way it felt. I had nothing about this shook me on any level, personally, theologically. Gosh, we've gone through all of this, and now we get to go through it again. But we get to go through it again in a fashion where we are addressing the opposition to the gospel, not just the things that we teach in the gospel. Now, it is true that over the years, my style of teaching is to say, this is what I used to teach. But I get to do it again because Jim has brought it all up again. And one of the interesting things...
20 years after the event.
20 years. That still is sinking in on me, that 20 years after the fact...
What do you think happened? That 20 years after the fact, this was, you know, Jim felt that he needed to do this?
Well, something had to trigger this again. And I would say, as Jim has had no contact with me whatsoever in the last 20 years, that this was brought on by someone else, most likely confronting Jim about his own doctrine and realizing that this has been a long time ago. Because now, here's the thing, Barris. I realize that nobody who's listening to Jim on a consistent basis is listening to me. I also know that nobody that's listening to me on a consistent basis is going and filling their boots, as you say, on Impact Ministries' website. It just isn't happening. But a bridge has been built here by Jim. between Impact Ministries and Gospel Revolution.
Oh, I hope it is a bridge. I hope, I mean, when you say bridge, you know, I think sorry?
Better than walls, right?
Yeah, beats the heck out of walls. When you say bridge, I think of reconciliation, but I just don't see it in this letter.
No, there's none in the letter at all. There's not even a call for me to repent. I mean, I can't repent, repaint, re-up, re-anny, I redo.
You're just, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to hell through a chute in the basement sort of thing.
Exactly. So what we have here is that that Jim has made this, 20-page declaration of his beliefs that are all in opposition to the gospel, which are also a relinquishing on his part of many things he used to teach.
Wow.
About faith righteousness.
Wow.
And about grace.
Well, some of the people who've emailed us have said precisely that. One person, I think, said that she was so sad to see that he had gone back to living by the law.
Yeah.
Rather than living under grace. Well, let's get into...
Let's do it.
And I'm going to take you up. Now, family, you need to know, I need to be transparent with you and let you know that we recorded 2 hours of stuff, closer to 3 hours, actually, about 2 weeks ago. And then last week we had a little rabbit trail called shunning, disfellowshipping, and we dealt with that interesting topic, which has nothing to do with reconciliation, or at least it seems like that to me. And in that three-hour recording, I got pretty heated. And I told you, I think last week, that we were going to play the rest of that. No, we're not. We're going to re-record that, because you don't need to hear. Now, I know you don't hear this from Mike, but you will hear it from me. Like I said to a boss of mine once, listen, you can rob me if you want, but don't be robbing my kids. That ain't going to happen. And you can hit me if you like, but I got my buddies back. and my emotions may become stronger than Mike's. So what we're going to do is we're just going to re-record something we did. And look, by all of that, all I'm saying to you is this. I'm just another fella out there who hates seeing what I consider to be the truth to be attacked violently under the cover of darkness. When I have a problem with some of my friends, and I've had these sort of problems with some of them, I tell them to their face. There is something which we covered in the shunning. There is something about Jesus' command, listen, try and work these things out. Reconciliation is my main focus. That just doesn't happen in religion. So here we go, and we're going to start again. And you're going to hear the syrupy, dulcet tones of me without any emotions.
Now, what you've done is created a real market for that 3 hours. If you would like, if you want to donate $1,000 in our pledge drive, which begins this weekend, Barris will release this to you.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Yes, $1,000 and you got it. Oh, always after the cash. I love it.
Always, always.
Did you say the pledge drive starts this week?
It starts on Saturday.
Oh, we don't. Okay. Good, I thought I'd missed something.
No, not yet.
All right. So we got up to this part in the letter, and we're going to go on from here. When we, this is Dr. James Richards, in this letter that we have referred to. When we no longer conducted meetings together, now he's talking about the meetings that he, he refers.
Are you sure you can do this, Barris?
Sorry?
Are you sure you can do this?
I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a new experience for us both. And it's going to be, you know, that's a good thing about the gospel. The gospel enables you to be the observer. So we're just going to observe
I'm going to miss it a little bit. I think there's parts I'm just going to have to insert for you. Wait. Dr. Jim.
Jim, are you saying?
whoa.
We need Glenn. Sometimes you just need Glenn.
Sometimes you really need Glenn, don't you?
When we no longer, and he's talking about him, well, he mentions in this letter elsewhere that there were three people who were at the forefront of the grace movement 20, 25 years ago, and that was himself, and it included Andrew Womack, and also it included Michael Williams. The two people he's talking about here is himself and Mike Williams. When we no longer conducted meetings together, and as he maligned my name, pastors called me and wanted to know. Can I say something about what bad grammar he has? No, we won't do that. When we no longer conducted meetings together, and as he maligned my name, pastors called me and wanted to know why we no longer worked together. Without attacking him, I explained our theological differences. However, because of his popularity and his ability to draw a crowd, they continued to have him speak in their churches.
20 years ago, let's remind you, this is 20 years ago.
They found ways to justify his shock statements, even though they grew more and more extreme. Okay, I'm going to stop it here. Give me an example of your shock statements.
I think one of the shock statements, and of course I don't realize they are until after I've heard them repeated to me from others. I would like to tell you that I had a real strategy on how to do this, but I had none.
Can you imagine the book, Seven Steps to Effective Shock Statements?
Yeah, exactly. And all I can tell you is maybe somewhere people have said, I heard this, and oh my gosh. But to say that they were not followed up with teaching is just simply not true. Extensive teaching, in fact, going back and looking at every thread of what we were taught and why that, based on contextual teaching, was just not correct, such as. And I remember our friend Scott Johnson, who is now a professor at the University of Alaska, and he was listening when he was 19 years old and was a faith healer and had traveled at 19 years old. He was a faith healer and traveling in Mexico and all over the place, but nobody knew the secret torment this young man was going through. And he listened to a tape, and it was tapes then. And his parents asked him to listen to it. And I had spoken in their church. And he heard a statement on there that he says rocked his entire world. And the statement was, sin has no power to separate you from God. That's a shock statement, if you will. Now, why is that shocking? That's what it's... that's the whole point of the gospel. It's shocking because we've not heard the simple truth. So things like that, sin has no power to separate you from God. The end of the world happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the great high priest. The need for sacrifice ended 2,000 years ago. Therefore, sin ended 2,000 years ago. Things like that, I think, is what Jim is referring to as shock statements, or I just called it dropping bombs, you know. And then after you, but one thing about dropping a bomb, you got to go around and clean up afterwards. So I don't use shock statements; I call it bombs. But then I go back and pull all these parts together so that people can see how they actually do fit. The one thing I have no recollection of, it's just not there, is ever dropping a bomb and not having a tremendous amount of teaching to follow. In fact, I always drop the bomb at the first. And but it's really a common practice of teaching, where that people say something to grab people's attention, because, you know, when you're dealing with a room full of people who are not used to thinking in a certain way, then you grab their attention. Now, if you just grab their attention and walk off, that's another thing, but that's not what happened.
Back to the letter. Then it seemed to reach a tipping point. Seemingly overnight, there was an avalanche of destruction that began and is reemerging this very day. Well,
so that indicates that he has heard something somewhere.
Yeah, it could be that the gospel of peace has kept on driving, but the news is getting better, as they say sometimes. You know, it's not that this or that's getting worse, it's that the news reporting is getting better.
I've gone on Jim's website and looked around, and I think there's been a real decline in Jim's ministry, and he needs somebody to blame for that. It's tough to watch something that you've built begin to go downhill. Believe me, I've gone through the same thing. But I knew what I was giving up when this process began for me.
Okay, back to the letter. So it's re-emerging this very day. For a period of a year or longer, I received at least one desperate phone call a week from a pastor whose church split and who often had to shut down his/her church as a result of this man's influence on their people. It seemed everyone who had any codependent tendency stopped attending and supporting their church and lavishly supported the man with the new message. Now, there are two things here I'd like to talk about. Number one is a codependent tendency. Now, this is, in my opinion, this is a derogatory statement. In other words, it would appear that Dr. James believes that anyone who started supporting you and stopped supporting their church had a mental condition. Now, codependent tendencies are a mental condition, or have I got this wrong, mate?
Well, codependency is, in its negative term, I think codependency has a very positive slant to it. I am very codependent upon Hazel, Audrey, you, of course, Jeff. Most of my friends, I think I am, quote, codependent. Just the reality of the statement. However, the term that you are describing, that Jim is not using this in a positive way, as you said, this is something that one person's weak character causes them to support the negative character of another person, their addictions, things, their mental illness. So one person can be very sick, very mentally ill, and the other person enable that to happen.
I'm just reading the dictionary definition. It says, excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner, typically a partner who requires support due to an illness or addiction. So sounds like you've got the rights of it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the second thing I have a problem with here is lavishly supported the man with a new message. Now, as I understand it, people, and I'm going to name names, and I have no doubt you can name many more, but people like Dr. James Richards and Andrew Womack and many others, they invited you to their churches with a promise that they would take care of your accommodation and take care of your flights and take care of, even take care of you to some degree. And they reneged on their offers, causing you to go everything but bankrupt. You had every good reason to go bankrupt, and yet you didn't. So let me ask you this.
Well, and Jim was one of those.
Hang on. I haven't asked you yet. Let me ask you this.
Ask me, Barris. I will tell thee all.
Were you so lavishly supported, as Dr. James Richard says, were you so lavishly supported that you didn't have to at least think about bankruptcy?
Well, believe me, there was debt that mounted up from churches like Impact Ministries reneging on what they told me they were going to do, which that was my last meeting. I can't tell you that Jim ever did that before, but my last meeting, I certainly didn't get anything for speaking
and
there.
This was, I'm going to guess, this was aimed at your ministry and affected your wife and your children.
Oh, yes, definitely did. Do you know, Barris, how many of my friends used to be pastors and their church no longer exists and the pastors thank me for it? I'm talking to one of them sitting right here on the other side of the internet with me. They lost their ministry or gave it up voluntarily when they found the truth of the gospel. My goodness, pastors all over Canada, and it is true that one of two things happened every time I spoke after I started sharing grace. Either the congregation quit or the pastor quit. But it is not like that in all cases the congregation quit going to church. In some of them, it was the pastor who quit going to church. So now these were all knowledgeable men, many of them graduates from Bible schools, and there were many of them, in fact, around the world that this began to happen to.
Did you ever go to Bible school, Mike?
I have a degree from a Bible school, but I never went to a Bible school. I have a doctorate from a Bible school, but I never went to a Bible school.
Oh, who gave you the doctorate?
That was Dr. James Richards doctored me.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to go there. I guess we better just keep reading the letter. Suddenly, Mike Williams was coming to their city and these pastors' city and or cities and conducting private meetings with members of the church that had previously hosted him.
Private meetings. Well, I don't think there was anything private about them or they wouldn't have known about them.
Well, not only that, but I know plenty of pastors who are fighting the idea of their people going to Joyce Myers or Ken Copeland or something because it's not because they might learn something, but because they might lose some tithes, some offerings, be less cash for their church.
Yeah, because technically these are private meetings in the fact that they're outside of the local church.
Yes. Dr. James goes on to say, for a period of a year or longer, I received at least one desperate phone call a week from a pastor whose church split and who often had to shut down.
Okay, let's add that up. One pastor per week for a year. All right? That's
52 churches.
That's 52 churches. That and their pastors, at least. So we're not taking this outside of Jim's statement. I never spoke in 52 churches, especially in those days. I was probably down to 10 to 15 at the very most by the time I started teaching grace. I'm sorry, this is just funny. I remember this exaggeration thing that legalism tends to give you license to do. You know, like many people, the landslide, the avalanche, the tornado of horrible results from this.
Well, that's what he says here. There was an avalanche of destruction.
Avalanche of destruction.
Talk about hyperbole.
Yeah, and now we're at a not an estimated but a minimum of 52 churches just the first year.
And he says a year or longer.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we just take the 1 year, that's 52 churches. So I was doing better than I thought, actually.
You just beat me to saying that. Oh boy. private meetings. Those people began to see the pastor as a controlling legalist. These are the people who he was conducting private meetings with, as a controlling legalist, and terminated their involvement with church. Make a point.
This is just
make
very
a point of what church is.
This is just very convenient to say that this all happened to the congregations and the poor old pastors were left standing there. I have to take the blame also for these pastors and of these, quote, churches. There's big battle about the local church and how valuable the local church is. Let me tell you something. There's nothing local about the church. The church is indeed universal. The church is not a group of people holding a meeting somewhere in, you know, a state in a far-flung city or a big city. Regardless of the size of the congregation, it is not, you can't call that particular meeting the church because not everybody's there. The only way you can call it the church is if everybody's there. Everybody's there, except not in one place. We're all there. Where are we? We're all in Christ. That is the church. And this is a congregation of Christians. But to say that any local church, quote unquote, is the church just isn't true. It just is not true. And it takes away from the reality of the work of the cross.
Dr. Richards goes on to say, I watched healthy churches fall into total disruption. Now, I want to take a little moment with that. If they were healthy, how come they fell into disruption?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched healthy bodies die on the spot. How does a healthy body die? I watched healthy churches fall into total, not partial, no, total disruption. Okay. Many of these were the very pastors that, when they previously asked, I warned about the unforeseeable devastation this doctrine would cause. Well, again, unforeseeable devastation. If a tornado is heading towards Eva, Alabama, it ain't nothing unforeseeable about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
If an avalanche is coming down the hill.
Yeah, an avalanche of unforeseeable devastation. When I warned them, instead of searching the scriptures, they tended to find fault with me.
Well, I know many of them that did search the scriptures, and they decided that Jim was wrong. Based on the scriptures that they searched through. Mm. It is the ones who did not search the scriptures who stuck with their old doctrine. There is not a single one of them, Barris, that continued in the doctrines of evangelical Christianity who searched the scriptures. They didn't have to search anything. If they weren't going to change their minds, why search anything? But the people who did search the scriptures disagreed with Jim. And they let him know they disagreed with him. And I know the ones who did. Now, there wasn't 52 of them that I know of. But I could name close to a half a dozen of them probably, if I put my mind to it again.
Well, it wouldn't have been 52 because it had to be more, because he says here, in time the number of calls decreased, but the truth is we received calls like this for years.
Yeah.
So there had to be more than 52, I imagine. Many, many more than 52.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd like that kind of effect. You know, speak in 15 churches
and
demolish hundreds more.
Yeah.
No one would believe what started as a few shock statements from the pulpit would end up with churches collapsing, believers rejecting the authority of God's word, Christians rejecting the teachings of Jesus, and lives collapsing in sin. Wow. That's quite a statement.
It's quite sweeping.
Yes, and that is the thing which concerns me with this letter. Nowhere are any facts entered into evidence. Nowhere.
Not a single one.
There is generous hyperbole, overstating emotions, but no evidence, no facts in evidence. There is ambit claims. You know, every week they got a call from somebody who didn't search the scriptures. Healthy churches apparently died. Totally healthy. So healthy that they collapsed almost instantly. I saw a thing the other day, hyperbole. The greatest possible thing that ever happened in the universe. Well, anyway. But this is exactly what Jesus and Paul warned would happen when we allowed the corruption of leaven to grow in our midst.
Mm.
Leaven.
Yeah, it's a poor selection of description here. When the term leaven is very easily determined, and determined by others than myself, that the leaven is the law being mixed with grace.
Now, the leaven is, back in Jesus' day, was that which we'd call yeast today. Mm-hmm. So they had flat bread, like most Middle Eastern countries still do today, and they don't have bread that rises like Western countries. So leaven is yeast, and we remember that Paul said that a little bit of leaven or yeast, it yeasts or leavens the whole lump of bread.
Exactly. It cannot not affect all.
So the question is, because he's about to say, remember, leaven isn't restricted to legalism. I didn't even know that was what it was, but I'm going to ask you in a minute, Michael. It is any influence that undermines and disempowers. Any influence.
Well, not biblically, it's not. I mean, biblically, it's talking about the law. And that's the clearest understanding I have. In fact, other major ministries around the world see leaven as law. But to expand this to Jim's definition is definitely a highly personal interpretation. And according to the New Testament, there's no such thing as a private interpretation. But what we have here is a very private interpretation, expanding the term leaven, because leaven would be what Jim teaches, quite honestly. I mean, taking the grace of God and adding law to it, and it affects the entire thing. That's why that myself personally, I've thought that it has been to get all of the leaven out. I remember my friends from the Worldwide Church of God and them observing Feast of Unleavened Bread. And these folks would have to go. That's what spring cleaning was to them. It was to make sure there was no leaven in the house anywhere. They would take their sofas apart. They took the dashboards out of their cars to make sure that a piece of biscuit from McDonald's had not fallen down. This was vitally important. Well, I think I almost became very Worldwide Church of God-ish in trying to get all the leaven out, and that is get all the law out of grace. Every single stitch of law, because I saw how that even one law, as Paul said, if you break one law, you've broken them all. If you invoke one law, you're guilty of breaking all, and there is no view of grace at all when you invoke law. It just is not possible. So I did become very intent, shock statements included, in helping myself and others get past this issue of feeling that there was some need for the law in our lives. And there is none. There is no need for law. In fact, it is completely counterproductive to living a healthy, mentally and emotionally healthy life.
listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Dr. James Richards goes on to say it was so heartbreaking to watch helplessly as good churches collapsed, good healthy churches, as he points out earlier, totally healthy, as good healthy churches collapsed and men and women who had been in ministry for years left the ministry disillusioned, heartbroken, and financially ruined. Well, I know one man who that happened to. However, the greatest sorrow was not the churches that failed, it was the lives that failed. Church members began getting divorces, using drugs, diving into homosexuality. Okay. I'm sorry. That wasn't happening before. I mean, messing about with, who was that guy, Haggard?
Yeah.
Ted Haggard. So in Ted Haggard's
ministry. It didn't
take any grace
teachings for Ted Haggard to make the plunge.
What about others?
Oh, goodness, the list
Jimmy
goes
Swaggart.
On. Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart, goodness, the accusations from other ministers about Jim Baker. I don't know if they're true, but I do know that the stories are there. But... You know, I'm sorry, I've just got this.
Church members began getting divorces. Look, as far back as 25 years ago, church members, their divorce rate was exactly the same as those people outside of churches. So, really? It only started when Mike Williams was financially and spiritually busting up, yeah, I don't think so. I just don't think so. Using drugs. Nobody ever used drugs in church. No church members ever used drugs. Of course, we're not going to go into the fact that in classic Christianity, marijuana is a bad thing, but aspirin is a great thing. Ibuprofen is a terrific thing.
The only thing that's keeping people off of drugs and out of homosexuality
is not listening to you.
Yes, all they have to do is not listen to Mike Williams, and there would be no homosexuality in the world. There'd be no drug use
nope.
at all. There would be no divorce. I have caused it all, parents. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because of who I am. I just see this pool full of gay people and some straight person standing on a diving board deciding whether or not to dive in or not.
You know, this is sounding more and more to me like a politician speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just make it up as you go along. It's just the oddest thing. Okay, and even denying Christ. Oh, yeah, some of these people denied Christ, mate, after they listened to you.
Yeah, evidently at least 52 of them.
You name it. It was happening. You name it. It was happening. You
now,
name
and
it.
The interesting thing is to look about the gospel revolution right now. And goodness gracious, some of the longest enduring and endearing marriages that I know of are people in the gospel revolution. There have been people who've divorced in the gospel revolution. I am one of them. And for those who were in situations that were abusive and you were unloved and you were not happy in your marriage, we celebrate your divorce. We absolutely celebrate your divorce. Please don't think we're running and hiding from this statistic, because there's never been a happy person get a divorce. Happy people that are happy with their marriage stay happily married. Evidently, they got a divorce for a reason. So we applaud you. I'm glad you had the nerve. I'm glad that you had the freedom and the wherewithal, instead of staying in some place that you were not happy, at least, and possibly even abused, that you had the ability to get out. We cheer you on.
Dr. James goes on to say, and sadly, all of this could have been avoided if pastors had been responsible under-shepherds and guarded the flock. And then he quotes 1 Peter 5:2. Let me tell you what that says. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, in other words, overseeing it, episkopeo is the Greek word, not by constraint. That means in the Greek, it simply means not compulsorily. You know, you don't have to do it, and you don't have to make other people do things, but willingly, voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight not compulsorily, but willingly, not for financial gain, but of a ready mind. Now, Dr. James, I notice that at the bottom of this letter, you have made links to where people can buy your material. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And I don't know what you have created that is worth $300 or $200 or the money that you ask for some of your products. But it says here, don't do it for financial gain. Now, let's say that you're pure in this area. Then I would have to say that some of the people that I have no doubt that you recommend, I see them on the TV every Sunday. And what I see is filthy lucre is the word here in the King James. Financial gain. So, if these pastors had been responsible under shepherds and guarded the flock, they wouldn't have had done it for financial gain. I'm not going to even. I'm just going to say, I doubt that any of these were working for nothing.
Well,
I doubt that any of these were doing it voluntarily for nothing.
And here also, you know, maybe the people that fell to, quote, my deceptive doctrine, maybe they did it because they couldn't afford one of Jim's series. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
What if they just couldn't afford one of those $300 series, and that's the reason that they got on the diving board and jumped?
Now here is the other thing about that, Michael. The series that Dr. James charges hundreds of dollars for are all about how to live better. Why? Christianity can't do that by itself. Yeah. It needs help. Jesus, it just got to do it for money. Those, he says, who preach this grace imposter message, loves using that word, doesn't he? Claim that a pastor's biblical responsibility to guard the flock is a legalistic action of control.
Well, it didn't say to guard the flock. It said to feed the flock.
Well, moreover, the word, the word pastor in the New Testament is simply, it simply means shepherd.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a legalistic action of control. Be assured, he says, I am not talking about controlling your people.
Are you assured?
Yeah, really. Apparently, he's just told them that they should guard the flock.
Control. You should have controlled this, but don't think I'm talking about controlling.
I am talking about no longer facilitating the exposure of your people to a message that is biblically unsound and historically always leads to destruction. Do you do the same with those people who go to Joyce Myers? Remember Joyce Myers? She's that extremely rich female pastor in America who has told people they should not reason, they should just believe. Saying, I am talking about no longer facilitating the exposure of your people. Your people. Really? They're your people. I had a pastor once, as he was trying to raise me up to become his protege, he told me that the sheep were there for us to shear.
Yeah.
They're our sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They're your people. Ah.
It, It is difficult to get through this. And we're in a part of it right now. That's the reason we're probably re-recording this. Is this, as you can see, folks, this is a very difficult part of this, that it's difficult not to respond, and because of just the absolute, I mean, to say it's disingenuous would be a very mild statement, but I think we can start there. And again, this being addressed, like I said, you know, Jim's had no contact with me in 20 years. I don't get any invitations from churches. Who is this church that he's warning against me now? Who is this church? I haven't received an invitation from a church in 10 years.
I guess those tapes are still going out. You know, not 52 anymore, 152.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're going to increase CD production because it sounds like we're doing a better job than we thought.
So Dr. James goes on to say, I'm not talking about controlling your people. I'm talking about no longer facilitating the exposure of your people to a message that is biblically unsound and historically always leads to destruction.
Well, there's so much in that it's hard to even get to. Oh, my.
Always leads to destruction. Well, I can see what he's saying. He's saying that from his perspective, or from the perspective of people who used to make money leading churches, it's gonna kill it.
Yeah, yeah. Lead the destruction of religious organizations, and it does, and that's really what Jim has told us here in all of this, is that Jim has confirmed that the grace of God destroys religion. Of all the things that Jim has communicated so far, he has made everyone within the sound of his voice, and we're making sure that voice is heard even more than what Jim probably could have done on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that people know that grace does not tolerate religion. Religion collapses in the fullness of God's grace. And that's not something that the Gospel Revolution or Mike Williams or Mike Williams Ministry shies away from. I wouldn't say that we revel in the thought, but we are certainly not disappointed when an organization of legalism loses grip on people's lives.
Well, the other thing that you didn't say, but I'm sure that you agree with, is not only that grace that cannot tolerate religion, but religion, as we're seeing in this letter, cannot tolerate grace.
Cannot tolerate grace, yeah.
Jim Richards goes on to say, I am not saying tell them what to do or who to listen to.
Oh, really?
I am not saying tell them what to do or who to listen to. But I am saying teach them the difference, and by all means do not allow these wolves in sheep's clothing access to your people through your pulpit, your social media, or your mailing list. Now, he's already called them your people, your flock. Now he's saying your pulpit, your social media, or your mailing list. What did you get that you could call your that you didn't get and you wouldn't claim was God helping you get it? In other words, you did all this by your own strength and by your own smarts and by your own abilities. Where is the Holy Spirit in any of that? I don't see anywhere in this letter that you should encourage your people to leave you and head toward the Holy Spirit. I don't see any encouragement. And religion can't do that, it seems to me, Mike, because you can't just point people in the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose them.
Well, exactly. And the thing that I'm very proud of the gospel. My heart just swells with pride in the gospel, and I'm very proud of the Gospel Revolution. I'm proud of our gospel revolutionaries because everyone knows they dwell in a space where the doors were wide open when they walked in. The doors are wide open if they want to walk out.
It's called freedom.
It's called freedom. And there's not going to be somebody standing at the door quoting a verse, oh, if they were ever for us, they wouldn't have left us. And, you know, God's pruning the branches.
You know, the interesting thing is that Jesus said, look, if they're not working against us, they're for us.
Yeah.
And he used that as almost a carte blanche for people, even with wrong ideas.
Yeah.
To preach freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what else do we have?
The sad truth is, he says, these pastors were good men and women.
They were.
If they were that good, why couldn't they hold on to their healthy churches? That's what I want to know. I still don't see an answer for that here. And I don't doubt that they were good people. And could
I think they probably still are.
And could it possibly be that the fact that they were good people was what drew them away from religion? Name me one of these preachers, these good people, these pastors, these people whose healthy churches disintegrated in a heartbeat. Name me one of them who is now today drawing crowds. But the allure of drawing crowds, the inability to withstand some disfavor, the humanistic attempt to be fair and open-minded. What is humanistic? And, well, firstly, what do you mean by humanistic? But what is wrong with being fair and open-minded? You can't be fair and open-minded.
That's an ungodly trait.
It is, yes. Yeah. Or the need to be accepted by someone they idolized, seduced them into an unintended conspiracy of compromise. Oh, don't you love, I mean, geez, the adjectives here, that destroyed their flock and their ministry. Let me just read that again without any interjection.
Oh, especially the idolized. Goodness, I'm feeling quite inflated here.
You should do too. You should do. The sad truth is these pastors were good men and women, but the allure of drawing crowds, the inability to withstand some disfavor, the humanistic attempt to be fair and open-minded, or the need to be accepted by someone they idolized, seduced them into an unintended conspiracy of compromise that destroyed their flock and their ministry.
That's a bouquet if I've ever seen one.
Man, I've seen some run-on sentences in my life. That's a bit of a, that deserves the writer of this letter almost turns run-on sentences into an Olympic event. But anyway, and then there is ego, he says. Pastors who have preached some of these very extremes or hinted at them in their messages will have to swallow their pride and lovingly lead their people in a healthier direction. If you make it to the end of this letter, oh yes, we're going to, I'll offer some positive suggestions to ending this erosion of truth in your congregation. Being fair and open-minded is an erosion of truth.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Continue.
You can see that glint getting back into my eye, can't you?
I see it.
All of that happened nearly 25 years ago, and now I'm seeing it all happen again, but this time on a much larger, more devastating scale. Today's technology has allowed these teachers of error all kinds of new ways to influence your people. With the proliferation of Facebook, YouTube, and other social media platforms, do we use them?
Yep.
Do we use Facebook?
Yep.
Do we use YouTube?
Yep.
If you really believed that there was a hell and that millions of people were careening over the sides of life into this bottomless pit of never-ending torment, wouldn't you use Facebook and YouTube and other social media platforms to try and warn them? Okay. You want me to cut that out?
No.
Okay. With these things, it is so easy for anyone to reach your people. But you do not have to be ignorant. You do not have to be ignorantly. You do not have to be ignorantly complete. That's it. I need to take my teeth out and put them back in, and I can do it then. You do not have to be ignorantly complicit in their attempts. Guard your social media outlets and use wisdom about who you allow to post on your pages. Now, here is something I've noticed, Michael, and you notice it a lot in political and religious places on, say, Facebook or anywhere else. If you want to say something and not be contradicted, all you do is you stop comments.
Yeah.
You don't want comments. Golly, you don't want contradiction. Contra, against, diction, to speak. You don't want anyone speaking against you. That's Latin, by the way. I never learned that Latin, but I just wanted to impress you, mate. You're easily impressed by it. It takes diligence and persistence to be responsible for what gets to your people through you, but it is a responsibility we must accept if we invite our people to follow us on social media. Who we allow to post on our social media outlets is no different than allowing them to preach in our pulpits. Interesting. Remember, this is not about controlling people. Oh, golly. Look, you know, you almost got away with that the first time, sir, but I'm not so sure that I'm going to let this one pass. Controlling people.
One pattern that you see in this is that Jim makes these really overt statements of whether it's manipulation and control or legalism, but then he goes back and says, but I'm not saying that. forget what I just said to accept what I just said, because what I just said is so legalistic you shouldn't listen to it, but I'm telling you, I didn't really say what I just said.
And so it is, family, that we must leave you. Remember that religion wants to downsize your expectations, outsource your thinking, and repurpose your existence. But God's eternal plan was just to enjoy the heck out of you and all of your uniqueness. Don't forget to visit www.thetruegospel.net and order your copy of Redemption, A Declaration for All, Not a Choice for a Few. One of the best study guides I've ever read, and it's a fantastic book. It's not cheap, but if you want to settle your mind forever about the foundational truths of the gospel, this is as good a book as you're going to get. We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free product. This value-for-value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. And by unhindered, I mean if we were being paid money by any group to put this thing out, we'd then have to kowtow to whatever they said we should or should not publish. So if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, then I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Come on, stick your short hands in your long pockets and see what you can shake out there. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember, the cash is not just the only way that you can support the gospel. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else, just like when you were starting your own journey towards thinking for themselves. Perhaps you would like to invite Mike to your area. It is easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and it will happen. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama, a town so pure, pristine, and perfect that it could only be named after the mother of all humanity. And
Beres, how do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on him.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you catch a tame rabbit?
Yeah.
Tame way. Unique up on him.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's good night from Michael Williams.
Hey, hang on. No, it's my turn now. There used to be this group called the Seekers. They were an Aussie group and came out about the same time as the Bee Gees. And here is the question. What is a thong?
You got me.
A thong is a thing that the thinketh youth to thing. Now it's your turn.
And it's good night from Mike Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, where we only catch unique rabbits. So have a good evening, guys. Participate in the pledge drive. It starts Saturday. Jeff will be calling. Answer his calls and contribute generously. We've got some good information for you that we're going to be sharing this coming week about the pledge drive. So hang in there. We love you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's Thing Thong. But if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel. We might even do the same thing all over again, only
better.